morning, folks, and welcome back to the Drive Time Friday show. We're having the usual technical problems at the station. We certainly appreciate the donations to help us to fix all of these things, because it's been a kind of a nightmare for a while, as you may have noticed, with things not working. But in any case, this is the Drive Time Friday show. I hope we are live. We can certainly hear each other. That's a good thing. And as usual, there is a whole lot to talk about, to review of the week that was. I got good friend David Justice online with me, and we've been talking for a few minutes here while we were not hearing the news about what's going on. And David, of all of the things that we mentioned there are so many big ones. What's at the top of your hit parade? Or where would you like to start, maybe alternatively?
Well, you know, there are so many things going on. I would like to start with the New York Times and the Post coming out with the sudden revelation that Biden was senile from the beginning. Go ahead and start with that.
Okay, because I think that's probably certainly one of the most important bits of news. It's being called the biggest political scandal in American history, and that's arguably true. Essentially, and I've got two stories here just from the Daily Mail alone. Turns out that there were a number of others, people within the regime that are admitting that, yeah, we hit it. We should have known better. Earlier in the week, and this is probably what precipitated it, O'Keefe Media Group, James O'Keefe, one of the primary investigative journalists out there. He's uncovered a whole lot of stuff. Basically got some of the insiders in the regime to admit the guy was a non compos mentis, and literally it was on day one. So here's just two headlines from the Daily Mail. One from Maureen Callahan. This is a kind of an op-ed, but she's got a good head on her shoulders. Biden was never president. By the way, she's not talking about the fact that they rigged the election. That's reason number two. The full truth must come out. Having been lied to for years, it says, by the Democrat Party machine, most of the mainstream media, who insisted Joe Biden was sharp as a tack, not diminished by age. Well, it turns out the skeptics, that would include most of us, all of us who knew he was senile before he even put his hand on a Bible and lied, were right all along. What we're learning, she says, is terrifying, infuriating, an unacceptable abuse of power. No, it's a coup, folks, a usurpation of the very presidency itself by a nameless, faceless cohort. Will we ever even be allowed to know who these cohorts' conspirators are? But this week, here it is, both the New York Times and prior to that, looks like, at least as far as I could see, the Wall Street Journal came out and revealed a president sick, thoroughly out to lunch for his entire term. Top cabinet members unable to reach him. Staff regularly taking over his place at official events. Biden refusing to hold morning meetings, clocking out by 4 p.m. Later, he refused to have any events after 8 p.m. When he was there, they said he was zoned out a lot of the time. Some days were good days. Some days were bad days. How much did Kamala know, and when did she know it? Well, one thing's for sure. She knew blankety-blank and well before she decided to try to run for president that he had never been president the whole time. And the other story that comes from the Daily Mail is White House Biden health cover-up has blown wide open in that bombshell report. This is referring to the Wall Street Journal. And remember, too, David, there was a special counsel, Robert Hur, who released a report. The Congress and the White House refused to release, they released the transcript, but they refused to release the audio because the audio would have shown a senile, dementia-ridden, non-compos mentis mental patient who couldn't answer a question. And what the report soft-pedaled said, well, he was a senile elderly man with poor memory, and that would might have been sympathetic to a jury. That's why they didn't charge him for his crimes. So this is, you're right, this is the biggest story, certainly of the last 4 years, and it should be cause for trials for treason. Because literally, to cover it up, to not exercise the 25th Amendment, every single member of the cabinet knew blankety-blank and well there was nobody home. And they didn't do anything about it. It's a crime. It is treason. It is war on the United States. It was a coup. And we've said this for years, but finally, it's good to see that the waste stream, at least some of it, is actually coming out and admitting it. Go ahead.
Well, and it even gets bigger than that, you know, as if it couldn't get bigger. The fact that the mainstream media was pretending like it was all good makes them complicit. It was obvious to any of us that were watching that really aren't afraid to want to know the truth and afraid to stand in the truth. But to be so obtuse as to absolutely know and pretend like everything's okay when they knew it wasn't okay, come on. How obtuse, how stupid.
Whoops, we lost you, David. How stupid do they have to be? I think that's what he was getting. There we go.
In people, in crowds. That, can you hear me?
Yeah, you were gone for a second. Hello? There, for several seconds.
Okay, well, I was going to the story of the emperor wears no clothes, that the media would pretend or go along with the crowd when we want to believe and trust in the media to tell the truth, and we have for decades, actually some of us have. I stopped believing in the media in my 20s because I could see right through their lies, and I don't know what sets me apart, what sets you apart, what sets people apart from the crowd, but that's the bigger story, is that everybody was complicit that was in a position to do something about it, and they refused. It was almost like the whole mask and mask mandate. Everybody wanted to put on a mask and subject themselves to this crowd mindset of going along to get along. What is it, an issue of acceptance or not wanting to be excluded? But I think that's the bigger story, is let's step back and look at the crowd mentality and the crowd hypnosis and the glad-handing each other for going along with the narrative, which is total nonsense. And at some level, I wonder, do they really know that and they're pretending like they don't, which makes them obtuse? Or are these people really so deluded that they can't see, Mark?
No, I don't believe for a second they're that deluded. I think they're just plain criminally evil, David. They knew what they were doing. They knew they were violating the oath that they took before God. They knew that they were gang raping the Constitution. They didn't give a damn about the election. They knew before they put him in there that the guy was senile and they had to protect him through the process of rigging the election. They went ahead and did it. You know what else? This is something the articles are pointing out. They were going to do it again. I think they would literally have done, and we talked about it, joked about it, Weekend at Biden's. The guy was so senile that that movie about the dead guy is ever more apropos. And the problem is, we have a constitution that specifies what's supposed to happen when a president becomes incapacitated in office. Well, wait a minute. He was incapacitated before. They stuffed him in there. So there's no soft peddling this. There's no pretending they didn't know. It's a little bit like what we saw with the attempted assassination of Trump. Here's a guy that has a brain, so they want him dead. I mean, if you're not pissed about this, folks, you aren't paying attention. Go ahead, David.
Well, it's the whole criminal mindset, you know. But again, just to reemphasize that the media, it wasn't just Kamala being right next to him and Jill being right next to him. And his inner circle, his cabinet, and their obligation, because to support and defend the Constitution, their obligation to tell the truth to the American people, that they all went along with it and made pretend. They all pretended that Biden was president when we know. Okay, this story better lead to the one, whoever that one was, that was orchestrating this deception. And I believe that one was Obama. And then you go up the chain of command to whoever was pulling Obama's strings. But this story better just be the kickoff of a much deeper story and a much deeper conspiracy to actually get to the bottom of it, Mark.
All right. Well, let me throw out another story. I just now pulled it up. It just appeared at the top of the Daily Mail a second ago. Well, at least I saw it a second ago. It may have been there for a little longer. As you know, some of their headlines can tend to rotate through. But this one says the following, and see if this isn't something that would have been predictable. Although, given that it hadn't happened by now, it's even more suspicious. Here we go. The headline says, Kamala Harris suddenly cancels her Christmas trip to remain in the District of Criminals as Biden decline bombshell rocks the administration. Yeah, he's not declining, folks. He's a corpse. And the headline under the picture of her with her arm around Joe says, I got this, Joe. How's that for absolutely vomitrocious?
Well, you know, at this junction, okay, it's only December 20th. There's another 30 days, 30 days past. There's another month before January 20th. And if this is coming out, then it necessarily follows that the 25th Amendment applies. But the problem is that the fact is that it goes all the way back for 4 years. So Kamala is not qualified to step up. And you know what? Neither is the House of Representatives, Speaker Mike Johnson, who would be the third in line.
Exactly.
Nobody is qualified because everybody was complicit in the silence. So we've got a situation here where we have the news finally reporting the truth, but we've got a dilemma in that no one's qualified because everybody was complicit. This is the House of Cards beginning to collapse. Now, here's another story. Here's a story behind the story. Why is the news suddenly picking up on this story now, a month before Trump steps up? What is going on? I think that's even the bigger story. Why did they suddenly decide to broadcast this? Go ahead, Mark.
Well, we probably know already. But the point is, Kamala, if she'd been in there very long, would have been shown to be an absolute fruitcake. Oh, wait a minute. The campaign made that clear. So it's pretty obvious now that they're saying, well, you know, she's such a nutcase. She's a hooker. She got here because she was good, better on her back than she was on her feet. I mean, how disgusting is it to just plain tell the truth about what is the number two slot and what is sitting in there? I use the term madam that wants to be madam of the White House. All of that's an understatement, David. We have a hooker. She, by the way, just took a $20 million book bribe for losing the election. So the level of bribery, incompetence, treason, it is off the charts. The people that are covering this up are now saying, well, we're going to stuff her in, it looks like. We're going to make the demands. Will they stuff her in and then remove her? On what grounds? Well, the one ground is treason because she knew Joe was incompetent and didn't say anything about it. But I doubt any of that will actually make a difference. Things are a mess. But what's interesting to me, of course, is we've been talking about this. We've been warning because it's been clear the deep state will go to any lengths, and I mean any lengths, to hold on to power, including stuffing Kamala in there and then declaring martial law. Now, that leads me to the next story, but I'll let you comment first before we go there.
Well, you know, you talk about Kamala being a whore, but remember the movie Pretty Woman and, you know, Julia Roberts? And
she was a better – I'd rather have Julia Roberts as president, okay?
Okay, so Richard Gere, they both realized that they were both whores. I mean, when Richard Gere says, you know, I'm no different than you, I screw people for money.
Yeah.
And so if the standard of being a whore is screwing people for money, then modern institutional Christianity is complicit, beginning with the Catholic Church, and I'll call them out, and beginning with Judaism, and I'll call them out, and beginning with institutional mainstream evangelical Christianity, I'll call them out, and Congress, and I'll call them out, and all of the governors, and I'll call them out. Everyone that has gone silent and gone along to get along for money is a whore. And so we're a nation of whores. As a matter of fact, America is a narcissistic whore. So all self's all about America. And right, for this reason, and we better be careful, because when we say the Pledge of Allegiance, one nation under God, you know what? That's vanity. That's a violation of the very first commandment. The very first, you know, it's blasphemy in the highest order to suggest that a narcissistic whore is one nation under God, people. All right, so you know what? The best thing we could do is humble ourselves and pray. And to the degree that we've been complicit, we need to immediately withdraw our complicity, distinguish the truth, and return in our hearts and souls and minds to the truth of our Father in heaven, because that's the only way we're going to get out of this. And, you know, it's always the first principle to repent and believe the gospel. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, well, you're right. And of course, we talk about that every week because ultimately that's the theme that has to resonate. If this nation doesn't return to him, it is dead. Stick a fork in it. But I think what people are waking up to is, wait a minute, it's been dead, stick a fork in it, for at least 4 years, since, as is increasingly undeniable, the election was stolen and rigged. So where I wanted to go next was this. You know, there's been a lot of discussion this week about, oh, you know, what are we going to do? We're gonna have another panic right before the Trump inauguration that is not intended to happen. going to have to pass this continuing resolution, fund government. The worst thing in the universe would be if Big Brother wasn't able to keep doing what it's been doing, lying, cheating, stealing, and covering up senility in Oval Offices. How horrible it would be if they couldn't keep doing that. By the way, who's then going to foment World War III? What's Vladimir going to do? Back down and let Trump negotiate an end to the war before they nuke us? So they have to have this continuing resolution. So there was a great set of comments on the House floor the other day by a Republican who was essentially saying, they pull this trick every year. I've seen it a million times. They tell everybody, you have to vote. And if you don't get this bill passed, pass it, they get chance going on the floor. Then you're going to have to stay here for Christmas. And little Billy won't be able to see his granddaddy. And you won't be able to get home and unwrap your presents. And so you better just sign it. Don't bother to read it. And you're going to end up staying here with Nancy Pelosi if you're not a good little boy. So they pull that stunt. They're doing it again. But then what they do, David, is they stuff it full of crap. Now, we're used to the pork. And I've seen the term toxic pork. But what the Zero Hedge piece the other day said, no, what we have this year is weaponized pork. They put in there in bills that would essentially codify and make permanent some of the infringements against free speech that were there. But arguably, in spite of all the other really nasty stuff, and there were tons of it, in this 1,500-page plus absolute piece of BS was this. This is from Alex Jones's website. He was one of the first to come up with it. Lots of people now that it's been found and they know where to look, are finding it. Title 6, Pandemic and All Hazards Preparedness and Response. And what this was stuffed in there. Basically, they took the UN resolution that was going to establish global tyranny and say, we're preparing for the next lockdown, the next mass mandates, the next Zyklon B injection. And it says, okay, all the things that the UN even, and the communists there rejected, we're going to put into this piece of crap and slap it through just before Christmas. And it would establish literally medical martial law, mandatory vaccinations, mass mandates, lockdowns, the whole nine yards. Oh, and guess what? They're rolling out the bird flu right on schedule too, H5N1. We've talked about that. I've talked about it for a long, long time because they want to kill farm animals, cows and chickens. Now they're talking about cats. They want to kill cats too. And the whole point is to institute this as an emergency. By the way, we had the big headlines this week and lots and lots of the waste stream press all chortling about this person in Louisiana, the first human that is seriously ill with booga, 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 booga bird flu. So Gruesome Newsom institutes martial law. I'm sorry, a medical emergency in California. How's that? It's not like you couldn't have predicted it, right?
You know, if we can't trust the media in little things,
we can't.
We can't trust them in big things. You know, when the government, okay, there's the Declaration of Independence, the foundation of American law. Quote, when a long train of abuses and usurpations pursuing invariably the same object evinces a design to reduce the people under absolute despotism, the people have a duty to throw off that government. Do you know why? Because it's criminal. So we have a criminal government. The media is running cover for a criminal. And if the criminal government is an oxymoron, okay?
Yeah.
It's like you can't have a criminal government. Either you have government or you have a system, a syndicated system of corruption, which is pretending to be government. This is the essence of what the founding fathers laid down in writing when they threw off Great Britain. They no longer recognized the King of Britain or the Parliament as a legitimate government, ergo they were criminals, therefore they didn't have to comply with Romans 13, submit and obey, because the government ceased to function to the end it was established to secure. Government is at best a necessary evil, and at worst, an intolerable one.
Yep.
When it becomes intolerable, we can't trust it, so we have a duty not to comply, and in some way, throw off the government. But here's our next problem. We pick up arms. That's exactly what they want us to do, so they can continue just to justify putting into law, martial law, putting other measures into law so that they don't lose control. So it really comes down to control is what they're really all about. So now that the wheels have come off, now that we can see this thing for what it is, the people have to realize, and, you know, Mark, respectfully, this thing hasn't been dead stick a fork in it. This thing has been a corpse, a whore corpse, it's necrophilia, for decades. It's just in the last 4 years, actually the last since 2016, since Trump came along and said, okay, enough, we're not kicking this down, this can down the road anymore. We're going to talk about this. And he set things in motion, and here we are. Wow, we're at a, oh, my God, moment in history where, you know, we have a choice to make, whether to go along to get along or continue to raise our voices to the precipice and continue to call out corruption for what it is.
Okay, whoops, we just lost you again, David.
Fall where they will, because they're about to. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, yeah, say that last sentence again before, because we missed it. You dropped out a bit.
I was going to say, let the chips fall where they will, because we're all going to have to. And I don't remember how far back. I don't know how far back. But anyway, this is that time where we have to speak from the rooftops about the truth. And we all lean into it. If we lean in together, the Holy Spirit will carry us the rest of the way. Go ahead, Mark. Take
okay.
Us out.
Well, yeah, we got the break coming up in a minute. We have a whole lot more to talk about, because that's just some of the really big news that's been going on. You know, we've gone through almost the first segment. We didn't even talk about the other big false flag that's being set up with the drones and the stuff that's going on in New York City. And, you know, there were those, including some of us, I'm sure, both you and I, that suggested the whole drone thing may have been a distraction for, oh, gee, I don't know what else. Like, maybe they knew that the senility was going to come out. Maybe they knew that they were pushing the bird flu instead and they needed to slip this thing into the omnibus continuing resolution spending bill, and they wanted a big distraction. Well, the point is, there is a whole lot of other things going on that we need to be paying attention to. So we'll pick that up when we get back. Let me just throw in one more little quickie here. This is something that I guess fits during the time of the budget battle. Waste of the day. They spent $250 million on fighting misinformation, according to a new report that came out this week. And guess what? Guess who decides what's misinformation and why it's so important to have all of that available to control people with right now? Yeah, you know the answer, because there's a crackdown coming. David, you got about 30 seconds. Looks like we're not going to hear the music, and we were a bit late getting started. So take us out. But any comments on the continuing attempt to shut down people finding out just how evil things are that they're getting set to put up with?
In an age of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. I mean, we're totally in the novel 1984, George Orwell. The truth is the danger to their fraudulent administration. And let's all connect the dots. Now the news is reporting, oh, well, you know, he was senile from the beginning. Well, right, you're not trustworthy. You've lost all respect. And yet, and this Department of Mind Control, Propaganda Control, Truth, we've got to extinguish the truth so that we can maintain our delusion. It's off the scale. It's off the scale high, relatively speaking, when the truth becomes the enemy of, and that in itself is prima facie foundational evidence beyond refute that the government of the United States ceased to function as a government for at least as many years ago as we can demonstrate. And the American people finally were waking up to realize it. And thank God it's in time, I think, to prevent a total catastrophic dark age that is being foisted by them, because it's called the Samson option. There are some levels of destruction they're willing to accept. And that's what we're facing right now. So there, I think we just don't hear the music, but I think we're probably
we're the there, right? We're there. So we're at the break, folks, or somewhere in the vicinity, and we'll be back after this. right. Well, I'm just going to keep on going and continue to believe that eventually we're going to be at the right place and we're going to hear the right thing at the right time. So this is the second segment of the Drive Time Friday show, I hope. David, we went to break. We were talking about more of the stuff that was being stuffed into the bill, nasty spending and more attempts to cover things up. But where I was really headed was what I would call the other big story of the week, and that was the thing that was being used as a cover-up, which was the drones in New York City and, in New Jersey and the entire Eastern Seaboard. Lots and lots of panic there. And we'll get back to the thing that is being used to cover up in a second, because I contend they all go together, and they all have to do with preventing a peaceful or any transfer of power over the next month. But any comment on the fact that not only were the drones there, and there's more information about some of them. As a matter of fact, now they're saying it's multiple different kinds of drones. You've got your orbs, you've got your drones. Big one sighted over Las Vegas. Some great camera footage there. I don't know if it was confirmed to be real or not, but it looked really impressive of a major drone hovering over the Strip or downtown Vegas somewhere. And then there were people roaming around. At least there's a few. If one out of 10,000 people in New York has a Geiger counter or personal radiation detector, that's thousands of them in the five boroughs. And so they're finding, yep, there are radiation hotspots, almost like there's something going on. And is it the white hats versus the black hats, or is it just yet another distraction? Your comments, anyway.
Well, Werner von Braun, the scientist that we inherited from Germany under Operation...
Yes. Former head of NASA. Paperclip. Our Germans were better than their Germans.
So he, it was reported that to his one of his closest confidants that when we see an alien invasion, don't believe it because it's not real. You know, the Iron Mountain think tank back in the 60s, and they outlined strategies for government control, and they listed as one of their two of their means to an end. One was environmentalism, and the other one was an alien invasion. I can't help but think that what we may be seeing is a prelude to an alien invasion, which is not really going to be an alien invasion, but it's going to be powers on this planet desperately trying to maintain control, because again, what we're standing at is the end of their world. It's the end of the narrative that they have weaved for decades, if not centuries. Evil has dominated in the realm of government, in the realm of politics, education, religion, and every banking, money, economics. And this is the end of their world. It's collapsing. They would have ultimately loved it had Trump not come along to begin the process of erosion, which exposes them to the light of day and demonstrates that the enemy is very much alive and very much active, and they have an agenda to subjugate the entire planet to their domination and control. And this is scriptural. It shouldn't be a surprise to people that actually study the scripture. So what we're seeing is, and I think this is what the drones are really, and I don't have any idea, and I really don't even like conversating about the drone thing, because it, to me, it's absolutely a distraction. The timing, come on. They're facing the end of their lives, because treason is a death penalty.
You got it.
And the evidence is coming out of their treason, so of course they're going to be desperate, and of course they're going to do desperate things in an attempt to stop their death, which they're looking at. It's the smell of death, it's the stench of death. They can see it coming, and they're terrified.
Well, not only that, David, now, remember, it's not only a death penalty for them. They're more than willing, and they've shown this, they're more than willing to kill to have their way. They're more than willing to kill to cover it up and to save their own sorry you-know-whats, but they are willing to drag the whole world into nuclear inferno along with them in order to stop what they so richly deserve. There's the real big issue, and that's the one I think people have trouble wrapping their heads around, because they go, surely they couldn't be that evil, can they? Answer, you're sure as, yeah, they will. Don't kid yourself for a second.
Okay, so you say willing, and that's a powerful word. They're willing to. Well, I don't know if there's a word more powerful than that, except
anxious
they're actually
to.
Doing that.
Yeah.
They have every intention to stop the bleeding. They're bleeding. Okay, they're finally exposed. Okay, so evil is finally exposed, and the people on the side of good, on the side of God, on the side of truth, are waking up, and they can't be put back to sleep. The momentum is too great. So we're reaching a precipice of who is going to ultimately win. Are we, the side of good, are we going to be able to withstand the onslaught of the evil's desperation to finally control, and in the light of they're willing to do anything? So, you know what? We're spectators, those of us, you and I are reporters of this thing going on. And I just, you know, continue to hope that we can continue to be wise and as serpents, but innocent as doves, as we watch the wheels fall off this narrative. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the other element then that I think we need to focus on. We've touched on it, but let's go back to it. So many things out there, and I actually did come out of my People show yesterday on this idea of don't be fooled and do the compare and contrast. You know, what's the best case? The best case is that Trump might actually get into office and begin to do what he's promised to do, and that would be to take some of these people, try them for treason, and then we can see how that plays out. But we already have enough information. We know that the people who, for example, fomented an invasion, a military invasion of the United States, well, that's pretty much the textbook definition, constitutional and otherwise, of treason. So you know how the trials should come out. And the question is, will they be allowed to? And the answer, we know that they will pull out the stops to avoid it. So one of the things on the agenda, and again, like I said, we touched on it, is the H5N1 bird flu. Now, there are others. Don't be fooled. We got Marburg. We got Ebola variants. We're going to have people bleeding from the eyes if they have to take them behind the building and poke their eyes out to make them bleed and then get the cameras on them. But we are, I would say you could set your clocks. And we've already got Peter Hotez, the scumbag who wants to be the next Tony Fauci, coming out and saying, the date is January 21. So if they can't stop Trump by killing him, if they can't stop him with the drone invasion or put enough stuff in place to handcuff Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and make him a traitor to the fake law, if he doesn't institute the martial law that they've got planned, they will uncork all of this come January 21st. But I think they may very well do it sooner. That's where we are. Go ahead, David.
Well, I agree with you. They're strategizing. That's what they do. They're conniving. They're cunning. We've got people in positions of high power. When I say power, I mean political power, which, you know, it's about blackmail and extortion. And it's about the Jeffrey Epstein list, and it's about child trafficking, and so they've all got each other. What's that Mexican standoff where everybody's got a gun pointed at everybody else's head? There was a beautiful example of that in the movie The Matrix. So that's what's going on at the highest levels of politics, and I can't help but wonder how many people are saying, okay, I've had enough of this, which is why I think Jeff Bezos went down to Mar-a-Lago. And, you know, there were some other really significant people visiting with Trump. I think maybe something's going on behind the scenes where people are choosing sides.
Oh, yeah, I guarantee you that's happening.
Go ahead.
I guarantee you. I disagree. Yeah.
So what we're watching is we're watching people take a position on the side they think is going to win this thing. And I guarantee you, Trump is not going to stop or capitulate, and people on his team are not going to stop and capitulate, but to the same degree, neither is Obama going to stop and capitulate and throw up his hands and say, you got me, oh, you got me. No, everyone's going to double down at this point. And this is a fascinating time to be alive, because now we get to see firsthand and understand how a war gets started, how the Civil War got started, when you have two sides that are not able to come to terms because the price is too high, the cost is too much. And so what a fascinating time to be alive. And you know what? I just give glory to our Father that whatever is going to happen is going to unfold exactly as it unfolds. There's nothing we can do about it except pray, really, and get prepared for whatever's coming. But trust that it's all good because all things work together for good, Mark. Go ahead.
Okay.
For those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose, of course.
Well, so we have a number of things. One of the things we always want to do, of course, is to keep people focused on, at least in my opinion, in your opinion, what is most important. We know what that means is Scripture and obedience. There are blessings for obedience, curses for rebellion. I think it's pretty clear. We're seeing those curses for rebellion. It's kind of hard to ignore at this point. The United States has been in rebellion. It eminently deserves judgment, and it's kind of a miracle, I think, and it's a miracle of blessing from him that we haven't gotten yet what we so richly deserve. But regardless, what that means is, and what I don't want people to fall victim to is becoming sanguine and saying, we're close. Now we're less than a month away. Trump's going to get in there. And yes, they can still block cabinet picks. And yes, they can still do this BS that we're seeing in Congress. Yes, they can still stuff Kamala in there. Yes, they can still cause martial law. They can release the Kraken and the bioweapon. So I don't want people to be complacent at all, nor do we want them to panic. But we do want them to say, okay, look, if I'm still in the cities, maybe this is a good time to get out. Maybe I don't want to open the presence, on Rockefeller Center in New York City this particular year. Maybe I don't want to do it at all because this wasn't when he was really born. But regardless, David, there are things we need to focus on right now, especially. Go ahead.
Well, I think, as radical as this is going to sound, it's time to strap on your weapon just in case you're walking down the street and a trio of illegal immigrants decides to kill you, because Trump has already doubled down on, they're going to be exporting these criminal illegals. And so this is a very, very dangerous time. And I think to be conscious of this time that we're in, and it wouldn't surprise me in the least that there was some sort of go order. There's a day that after they create all the chaos, and it might even be Christmas Day. I don't know. But I can't help but think that there's some day that is planned to be the go order, and the white man will be the target. And one, when that day comes, we may turn into a nation where we turn on each other. And so it's important to know your neighbors. It's important to know your environment. It's important to be aware of your surroundings, be cognizant of what's going on in the news, so that you can have at least deduce when that time might be presenting itself. But this is real, folks. This is a real scenario, and there's no backing out of it. There's not any date and time certain where we can see anyone working to a resolution, because this is a matter of life and death for both sides, Mark.
All right, I agree. Now, as we start to wrap up, David, we got about 8 or 10 minutes left. We didn't talk about all of the other issues out there. I'll throw one more story out or two. Then we'll connect some of these dots, because I think there's still a bigger element that we need to pay attention to here. And that is, you mentioned, getting to know the neighbors. For example, as you know, we don't celebrate Christmas. He was not born at this time of year. And on the other hand, when we have a chance to get together with neighbors in this season, it's divisive sometimes to talk about it. So I will not do it willy-nilly. But if people ask, I will always share the truth with them from Scripture. And it's good to be able to show them from the course of Abiyah and from some of the things we can look to in Chronicles and the birth of John the Baptist and 6 months later. It's pretty easy to show that he was born during the time of Sukkot. But on the other hand, I think that the element that is really worth pointing out, we have had some major revelations that the waste stream is finally talking about. People might believe the New York Times when they won't have believed us for the last 5 years. So the fact that they're saying, hey, he really is senile, and we've known it, they've known it for years, is a real indicator of, maybe now is a time to start paying attention. So this is a good opportunity, in other words, to build those relationships by pointing out things to people that they probably wouldn't have been receptive to not all that long ago. Are you still with me? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
With Joe Rogan, people like Joe Rogan and Elon Musk, and they hold it in the.
Oops, you're breaking up a bit. Sorry.
From the left, having come over to the right, that does lend the support of people on the far left waking up and coming to a place of wanting to know, well, just how deep does this rabbit hole go? Now, and I know that I have a few acquaintances in my circle that are suddenly interested in talking to me in a way they haven't talked to me before. They're more fascinated, like, how could you have possibly known this? And I'm fascinated back at them. How could you not have known this? But I don't go there into that conversation. I don't want to belittle anybody. I don't want to, you know, act like, you know, I was right and it sure feels good to, you know, vindication. You know, none of that, because this isn't the time for that. This
Agreed.
Is the time to be the light in the world, to be the salt of the earth, which we've always been called to be. And denial is the hardest thing. So many people are still struggling with denial. You know, it's all we've heard that it's easier for someone to accept a lie than for them to accept that they've been lied to. So there's a lot of people caught inside this cognitive dissonance of they're paralyzed and they're having a hard time reconciling reality with what they thought. So love is what is important here, and integrity and a willingness to share and be compassionate and to be empathetic to that very principle, the cognitive dissonance that they're working themselves through.
It is
so
hard.
You know,
yeah.
We don't want to mock these people. We don't want to belittle them for not knowing. We want to embrace them and, you know, welcome them home like the parable of the prodigal son. You know, the younger brother who never left was upset that father, you know, killed a fatted calf, you know, because he was dead and now he's alive again. But the younger brother had a problem with that. Let's not be that younger brother where, you know, we're all pissed off that these people are finally coming around. And, you know, we need to embrace them and understand that they're the people that turn. The people that were most in the grip of the delusion, when they finally turn, we will see that they'll become more on fire than those of us that have known it for a long time. They'll suddenly realize they've been lied to, and the frustration and the anxiety and the anger will foist them into a position where they're willing to come completely clean and tell the truth. And that's just the nature of when someone's been lied to or their trust has been betrayed. When they finally realize it, you know, you got a formidable foe on your hands. And I think that that's another plus on our side, is all these people that were being lied to, that now they're waking up, they become our strongest allies, Mark.
I agree. And again, yeah, it's a little bit like a lot of us have known people that were former smokers, and they tend to be more adamant than some about not going back and getting re-addicted again. So there is good news here. That's one of the big elements of good news. And I guess as we wrap things up, I'll point out one of the other things that's very handy, that has been a tool that I have found really useful for years. And you got to be careful. And as you know, I employ it a lot on the radio simply because people listen voluntarily. They tune in and they choose to tune in. You know, not forcing this on anybody. But anyway, that tool, and a lot of comics, stand-up comics use it, it's ridicule. It's extremely effective. Well, here's a story that I think fits into that category. This is from Matt Gaetz, who, as you know, would have been a fabulous attorney general. This guy, I think, would have been perfect, simply because he would have gone in there and knowing the evil of a Merrick Garland and a Butcher of Reno, Janet Waco, and Mr. Fast and Furious, and the level of slime that have infested that office. He is Mr. Clean compared to them. And what they did is they're saying, oh, he had sexual peccadilloes in his past. So he resigned from Congress, as you know. Turns out, this came out this week, he's actually suggesting that one of his constituents or friends had told him, you know what you ought to do? You were reelected. You could show up on January the 3rd, take the oath of office, and go into Congress again. So he resigned, but that was the last Congress. This would be the next Congress. And then what he would do is, the House Ethics Committee has already voted to release that bogus report that the DOJ wouldn't file charges based on, because they were bogus witnesses and it was all made up. So they're going to release it anyway because, you know, the damage is done by the accusation, not whether it's true or not. So he basically said, look, this is the so-called House Ethics Committee. They want to release this report. What he's going to do is go back into Congress. Let me read the exact quote here. He says, show up on January 3rd, take the oath, participate in the election of Speaker. I was, after all, elected to the 119th Congress. Take the oath, file a privileged motion to expose every single Me Too settlement. Now, these numbers are available, but only in aggregate. Not the names, not who got how much money from the taxpayer dole to cover up their sexual peccadilloes. So, file a privileged motion to expose every single Me Too settlement paid using public funds, even of former members, and then resign and go on and do my show on the OANN. And basically what he might do is drop the bombshell. This is food, this is fodder for the kind of ridicule that exposes, hey, the hypocrisy, the lying, the scum, and it's about time, David. Go ahead.
The wrap-up smear, as anybody can go online and find this, just type in Nancy Pelosi wrap-up smear. She explains it. And we're being led by a nation of people that have been subjugated to the idea of the wrap-up smear. They've done something in their past, or the deep state players will make up something about them and report it in the media, and then all of a sudden it gets traction, and before you know it, you're in the middle of a scandal. And scandals are how these people in power are remaining in power. You know, what needs to change, and I hope it changes, you know, after we win this battle, after we win this war, is that the way we elect our representatives changes, because the way we've been doing it is flawed. You know, that we can be blackmailed and, you know, extortion and maligned and libel and slander. And that's how they maintain control. That's got to end. You know, everybody has sinned and falls short of the glory of God. And this is the whole point of the gospel, is forgiveness is so important. You know, people's character is a result of where they've been. Whether they have sinned in the past or whatever it was, they did something in the past, that shouldn't be held against anybody. The character of an individual is the character of an individual as a result of where they've been. So our past needs to be forgiven, and this is the point of the gospel of Christ and the kingdom of heaven, is that the man that I am now is a result of the man that I was back then. And yeah, I've made some mistakes, and we've all made mistakes. And until we can arrive at that kind of a foundational understanding of reality, then we're going to continue to have our past haunt us. And we're going to continue to have a government based upon the extortion of our past. So, you know, we need to get over it, and we need to reconsider how elections are run and how our representatives are appointed and chosen. Go ahead, Mark.
Okay, well, while I agree with that, I would caution folks that we have to get there first. That means we got to survive as a nation the upcoming upheavals as people realize how badly they've been lied to. Because, you know, one of the things, and we haven't touched on this today, but certainly we have in the past, and it bears repeating as we wait for the music not to come up, is that they are still jonesing for a civil war. So don't for a minute forget that that is probably still plan A here. If we can't get a nuclear war going, they can get neighbor against neighbor, and people turn against each other, rural against local and city and so forth. So what we need to do is build bridges at this point, expose the truth, and make sure people turn in the right direction. Because the alternative, of course, is not just civil war, but a French Revolution. So bear all of that in mind, folks, as we look at what's coming. And Shabbat Shalom. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate you.
Okay. Thank you.